Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Damn it right off the bat.
I know. I just had to like start with a bang. You see? It's good.
Right,
it's good.
Good stuff.
How are you, Eddie?
I'm good. I'm tired.
You're tired? Today must have been the first day of school.
First day of school. LA Unified.
Dude, so it's first grade, right?
First grade. It's a big one.
So did you wake up earlier than normal?
Because I got up at 6:45.
Oh, man. And walk me through that process. So
there's an alarm clock that you hate.
Yep.
It goes off and you hit snooze.
Dude, alarms are the worst to wake up to. That's like the worst
way
to wake up.
There's no good way to wake up unless it's just naturally in 11 o'clock.
Yeah, that's right. That's my
world.
That's
the only good way to wake up.
So you wake up. You go wake up Colton. Was he excited?
No, he was tired. He was asleep.
Like, oh, I don't want to go.
He's like, and then I pick him up. I lay him on the couch. I make his breakfast.
What did you make him? What was his birthday breakfast?
His birthday breakfast. He likes these Special K protein cereal bars. That's all he's eaten for breakfast his whole life. Yeah.
So he doesn't like eggs, Eggo waffles, none of that.
No, he likes 10 grams of protein in the morning.
He's going to be a bodybuilder, dude.
Cock diesel is what he's going to be. It's going to be awesome.
So you were just like, no wrestling in class. Did you have the talk like, hey, no kissing girls like you did in kindergarten. You're a big boy now.
We'll see what happens.
So do you know the teacher? Did you like...
No.
Meet the teacher. You didn't.
Well, I met her. I said hi.
So you just said good luck.
Yes. Enjoy this.
Was he kind of embarrassed? Like, Dad.
No, he hasn't hit that stage yet. He hasn't hit the embarrassment stage yet.
I remember that first day of first grade.
They're still like at first grade. They still want to be around you, and you're still the greatest thing in the world to them. And
but I remember being super nervous. Like, you know, like I remember standing outside in a single file line, and my mom walked me to school, and like it was nerve wracking to me. I was like, oh my god.
He wasn't nervous. He gets excited. When he got there, he was like really excited about it.
Did he see kids that he knew?
Yeah, he had like, you know, half of his kids from kindergarten in his class. So.
That's got to be a good feeling. Was he high-fiving them? Like, what's up? I'm the man.
It wasn't like that.
No?
They weren't that excited.
So
still school.
Did everybody kind of like have their best outfits on and everything? Did
he get new shoes or anything like that? Otherwise, there's some people with no money in the school. It was just a lot of shorts and t-shirts because it was like... 80.
I remember like knowing what I was going to wear the first day of school. Did he even do any of that?
No.
He was like,
no.
Oh, man.
I didn't give a crap either.
Dude, he should have dressed like Incredible Hulk just to make like
he
that impression.
Just to make an impression right off the
bat. Yeah, just be like, yo, I'm incredible.
Fuck with me impression right off the bat.
And you know what? Everybody would have been in like their button-down shirts or whatever. Yeah. He would have been
he
like...
He would have been in a Halloween costume.
I know.
Which would have been awesome.
I know. See? You know, you need to like tap on my shoulder.
Make him weird
ideas.
Early.
He could be, you know, outlandish.
Yeah.
He'd be like the, you know, he'd step into the mind of the artist. See, Eddie? I'm right here if you need me.
It's not the mind of the artist. It's the mind of a whack job wearing an Incredible Hulk outfit to school.
So, did you pick him up afterwards?
No, yeah, we just left him there.
Well, I assume you,
it's like
either you
school.
Or Tracy.
We just left him there. It's gone.
Was he excited? How was his first day?
He was fine. He's tired. It's a long day. Because he's not used to the schedule because it's summer, so...
You know,
just tired.
I don't know if you remember this, but for me, first grade, it was a long year. It was a long day.
It all blurs together.
Oh, man, not for me. I remember that like it was yesterday. I remember that school year being so long, like, oh, my God. But it was like, you know, we'd do silly things, like make crafts, you know. Like, you learn your ABCs, and then you do, like, cutting out little figures.
Well, see, they did all that stuff, and that's, like, preschool now.
Really?
The stuff you did in first grade, they do in preschool.
So what are they doing? Are they doing, like, geometry?
They're doing math, and they're reading, and they're writing, and...
That's not the fun stuff.
Basic experimental science.
He's not started cursive and all that, has he?
They don't teach cursive anymore.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Wow. So it's just printing.
They've eliminated cursive and athletics from school.
Damn, that's
and
crazy.
Music and cursive and
so
athletics.
Now it's just science, math, and history.
Almost, maybe.
God, that's going to suck.
Once they get creationism back in, then everything will really
I heard in some state they're starting
I'm
to teach
sure
religion.
Some moron is teaching creationism somewhere.
Terrible. It's so bad. It's so bad. How was your week? How was the rest of your week?
Last night I went to the Roddy Piper Memorial at the Comedy Store.
Dude, that must have been super cool.
It was really cool. His family was
there.
Shed a tear? It was sad. There was some sad moments.
Do like a collage film or anything?
They did
like
a video at the beginning, and then just, you know, some comics come up and talk, and then some wrestlers. And
what wrestlers were there?
Diamond Dallas Page.
Dude!
Probably the most well-known one there.
And what are the other ones?
Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah.
You know Chavo?
Yep.
Then some other. And those are the two ones that spoke.
So no, like Junkyard Dog.
Well,
no.
He's dead, so that would have been really amazing. Because like, why don't you just bring back Piper, and then just, we don't have to do this.
So no Hulk Hogan. That was his big nemesis.
Hogan's in hiding. He said the N word. He's in hiding.
That's
right
true.
Now.
What about no Coco Beware? Is he still alive?
Yeah, I think so.
So he just didn't
make
it.
No one cares, though.
You know what? That guy was a pretty cool wrestler, though.
Was he?
Yeah, I thought
was
so.
Was he?
I mean, he was pretty acrobatic.
He lost a lot.
But that's only because they were like, well, he's got parrots on his shoulder.
He's colorful and he's got parrots. He can lose.
Well,
it was a cool thing.
That's awesome. I saw a Ziggy Marley concert on Sunday night.
Where?
At the Hollywood Bowl. It was so badass. And I got word that it was very last minute, but they decided to do an all Bob Marley set.
Do you ever go to the rehearsals there?
No.
You can go to the rehearsals, I think they're Tuesdays and Fridays in the afternoon for free.
What? Really?
You can go to the sound rehearsals and stuff.
That's insane.
Yeah, look it up, because I know a lot of people take kids and stuff, because you go and sit up, they give you certain sections in the Hollywood Bowl you can sit, and no matter what's playing, that like Tuesdays and Fridays I think are like sound checks and rehearsals.
That's
and you can
amazing.
Go and listen, it's free, and free parking, everything.
Dude,
yeah.
That sounds incredible.
So.
Or you could go to the concert and see the
movie. We go to the concert, but then you got to deal with people.
No, that's true. That's true. No, but it was amazing. It was probably the closest I've ever gotten to being at a Bob Marley concert. So the whole thing was
did
all Bob
high?
Marley songs. I didn't, but you know what? I was sitting to like next to every
you
person
you had to get a
there.
Contact high from there.
Yeah, I think I probably did because it was just there were so many people smoking well, herb. Yeah. But it was so awesome. I mean, it really was. The band was slamming. There are a couple other reggae bands, like the Scatolites. They're a ska band. But another band called Inner Circle. I think they do the Cops theme. So they were
Did they play the Cops
theme?
Yeah,
that was a big closer. I was like, nice, dude.
They're known for Bad Boys.
They're known for Bad Boys. But anyways, it was an awesome concert. So it was a good time was had by all. It looks like our special guest for the night has arrived, Mr. Steve Benequist. How are you? Say hello.
I'm great, gentlemen. Nicky, Eddie, good to see you.
You
good
too.
To see you too, man. I like your shirt. What does your shirt say? Meek local artist Carl Barlson. I like it. Awards are no stranger to Mr. Barlson.
Yes.
That looks like a baseball card, but
you know, it's interesting. This is a character that I created and play. I made some videos that haven't come out yet, but yeah, he's an artist and a high school art teacher.
That's awesome.
and yeah, you can get t-shirts, but this is the original. My girlfriend had
the OG
had it made for me. Yeah,
dude, that's rad.
She had the girly tee version made for herself.
So you've been doing comedy for a long time. I actually did one of your shows, the Big and Tall Show.
You certainly did.
At what was the name of the theater that we did? It was just like on Santa Monica Boulevard or something.
Yeah,
like that,
it's
right?
Part of the complex. I forget which of the four little theaters there.
I think that's where I met you.
Yeah,
years ago.
Long time
I think
ago.
We used to do shows in the late 90s at the Complex Theater.
The late 90s when hip-hop was the roar.
When comedy was dead.
Yeah. And I thought hip-hop was dead, but
it still had a long slumber.
Way back then.
Yeah.
So you guys met, you guys made on
like
contact.
We've always, like I've always known of Steve,
yeah,
but I've never, like we never,
yeah.
have our circles have never touched.
Well, now your tips
so
can touch.
Now we can literally touch our circles.
There we go.
So, Steve, how did you get bit by the comedy bug? What got you into it? Where did you come from and all that good stuff?
It came early on. I would say my dad is a film professor in New Hampshire, and I was raised watching a lot of great old comedies, Marx Brothers and SNL reruns of the classic.
Early. Yeah.
And then the next classic group, which I would say was the Dana Carvey crew, all
the
of them.
The mid-late 80s group.
And
that was like 90s. A real peak for me for Saturday Night Live.
Amazing. And I know everyone thinks, but there are, you know, within that there are definite, like, you have to tip your hat to them and just say they were a great cast and bunch of writers, I think, especially. But, yeah, I was all about sketch. I was in a sketch troupe in college.
Where'd you go to school?
Went to Vassar College, upstate New York.
Okay.
And then I came out here, and I wanted to do sketch, and at that time, Groundlings was kind of the only game in town.
Yeah, there was nothing else. When I first moved out here, it was like, there's a little Acme. IO was so, like, just starting off. You couldn't even really do anything at IO.
Which one did you say? IO?
Improv Olympic.
Okay.
Did they exist here at that time?
They were at the Complex Theater.
I remember that. In fact, that's where UCB, Upright Citizens Brigade, before they had their own theater, yeah. I remember seeing a show.
They used to do shows there. Yeah. Like, Improv Olympic was there. I think they moved there in, like, maybe in, like, 96 or 97, like, right when I moved into town.
Uh-huh.
And then they moved up in on the Hollywood Boulevard, I think, in, like, 2001 or 2002.
Yeah.
And then
which is around, and then a couple of years, I think it's 2005, they go to the 10th anniversary of UCB.
Yeah, UCB moved in. UCB was doing shows out of Improv Olympic, because I did some shows with Matt Besser at UCB at Improv Olympic, and then they moved over to get their own theater. But yeah, it was kind of, they had like their own UCB night on like Friday nights for UCB. Yeah.
And for our listeners, UCB is the Upright Citizens Brigade. Yeah. Comedians are like, oh, UCB.
Yeah. But there was like, there was no sketch, unless you did Groundlings, there was really no way to do sketch.
And you couldn't, there wasn't like a scene to do, like I want to just form a group of independent, like-minded people, but which you now can kind of do through the theaters or not.
Yeah.
But at the time, I resented the idea that Groundlings is going to tell me how to do things, and which, you know, I did stand-up, you know. Yeah. I was like, okay, what can I do on my own? And it was an amazing, vibrant time where even open micers, you know, like, I was doing shows with Zach Galifianakis.
Wow. Yeah, I did some open mics with Zach, like, way long ago.
Yeah,
And I was like, and then at the time, you're like, God, he's funny. Yeah.
I did Bonnaroo with Zach right before he broke. So I watched him, I'm like, dude, this guy's brilliant.
But this was like 97.
Yeah.
This is before anyone even knew who he was.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it was just.
Yeah.
How was he then? Was he good?
Hilarious.
Hilarious.
It's always been hilarious.
Yeah. And so it was a really, you know, Patton Oswalt was on that scene, and, you know, anyone who's big now was, you know, up and coming then, and I was just a baby stand-up and was sort of still finding the mechanics of it. And then I did decide I would give improv a chance, and I had never done that. And so I started studying at Acme and wound up being in a couple of interesting groups. There was a cage match. You know, cage matches.
Oh, yeah. We used to do them at I.O. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, this was at I.O. I was in a group called L. Ron Jeremy.
Nice.
I named it. Thank you very much.
That's a good name.
Thank you. And it had actually Jonathan Kite, who's on Two Broke Girls, was in the group, and Matt Knutson.
I know Matt. Hilarious. He's been a guest on the show.
Yeah. He is a good friend and hilarious. And we were undefeated for 52 weeks.
So, okay.
Yeah. Wow.
We did it, like, I did the cage match back when it used to be, I used to be back on Santa Monica Boulevard. Mm-hmm. I think our group was Big Shirley. I think we named ourselves Big Shirley. And Thomas Fowler, you know Thomas Fowler?
No.
Oh, he's an incredible improviser. We did, I think we had, like, at the time, no one had gone more than 10 weeks. I think 10 weeks was, like, the record.
Uh-huh.
And, like, we got the week 10. And, like, we were just, like, a bunch of new guys doing improv. And, like, so they brought in, like the killer house team.
Just
to make sure
to
that
demolish.
We wouldn't hit 10 in a row.
What assholes.
I know, but that was the mentality back then. It was like, we got to like 10, we're like, oh my God, we're gonna get our name on the wall. They're going to retire our name on the wall. And then like they brought in like the big guns and just like obliterated us.
Wow. That's mean.
But, it is. But I'm glad you guys got to 52.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's a whole year, right?
It felt good. It was a whole year. And I think we've been outlasted, but the fad passed a little. And I showed up to see the team that surpassed us. And they're hilarious, but the other team just didn't even show up, and me and my friend went up on the spot, improvised, two man group, and almost beat them.
Wow.
It was hilarious. I mean, they're hilarious, but just in terms of the numbers, the audience just wasn't there. But so I did sketch at the Groundlings. I went through the Groundlings school, did sketch at Acme, and did UCB, and was in some groups there, and stand up festivals and such, and.
And stand-up was the one thing that just kind of rang true to you, or do you still miss doing sketch and all of that?
Sketch is the one thing. I mean, I write still, but I don't perform sketch. I still do improv once in a while. I teach it sometimes. I started my own little school, the Institute of Comedy Institute.
Nice.
And it's just funny enough, right?
Right.
I don't want you to think you're flushing your money down a toilet.
Well, like, sketch is like, the problem with sketch is like, it's so hard. It takes so much effort just to get the show up. Yeah. You know, like stand-up, you can just go out and do.
Yeah, costumes and running a theater and getting
people
audience.
There. And
also, if your sketch sucks, you know, if the audience, or if the audience just ain't buying it, you're stuck with it for the next 3 to 7 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, stand-up, you can turn on a dime.
Yeah, you can.
Improv, you can turn on a dime.
Right.
And I love that about it. Actually, improv wound up being, in a way, the most natural to me because I was like, oh, my God. It was the last thing I learned. I was like, I've been censoring myself, and the fact that I can't, that I just have to take one of the four things in my mind and just, you know, blurt it out, is very liberating, actually.
Because there's no ego with that, I guess, right?
Yeah, and you're sharing, thinking. You know? Yeah. You're sharing and building, and you're kind of playing tennis, you know?
That's, yeah, it's one of the freer feelings you have when you're performing. Like,
LA's a very improv-friendly city, I feel like, too.
Especially
it's
now.
Gotten yeah. that way.
Like Chicago was kind of like the leading city, I think, mm-hmm. with Second City, right?
Yeah.
And then now LA's become like this real big improv
yeah.
and sketch comedy city. New York still is all about Saturday Night Live, but I mean,
yeah.
there's other schools that
They're
are
finding
now developing.
UCB
you know.
Has made them love improv, too, I think.
And it started in Chicago, right? Didn't it start
Well, Second
in
City and Improv Olympic.
Fiolis Bowl in St. Louis claims the
oh, really?
Of it. Yeah. Hmm. So I hear from my St. Louis friends. Bill Cott.
Let them have it.
Out there.
They need something.
Let them have it. They're going to lose the Rams. Let them
well,
have
let's
it.
Play one of your clips real quick. You. This is what. Why don't you set up the clip? Which one are we doing?
Which there's what, a
whatever you want to do.
Okay. Well, there's a stand-up one.
Do the stand-up one?
Yeah, I let's see. It's I think it's called Stand Up 2011.
It is.
I,
that's
yeah.
what it's called.
Don't put the year on it, everybody. It dates it for bookers.
How is it dated?
It's the setup is you need to know. I'm shifted into character. I'm a jazz DJ in the middle of a pledge drive named Peebo Watley.
Peebo Watley.
And I'm selling Wines. You tickets to in exchange for your pledge, 2 tickets to an evening of wine, moonlight. And jazz.
Steve Beniquist, Stand Up 2011.
But for my money, the finest pledge we have to offer, for $300, 2 tickets to a romantic evening of wine, moonlight, and jazz. It takes place at the Sheraton, the Starlight Lounge and Patio out on Route 5. And the wine is the finest. It's supplied by Ernesto of Belize. The finest and most delicious grapes grown in that swampy tropical country. The jazz is furnished by the region's best non-union musicians. And will probably definitely feature guest appearances by tween a cappella ensemble from St. Mary's. No backseats. The moonlight be furnished by the god up above. Or the man on the moon. I've never been able to tell them apart. That's a good cutoff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Nice. So what goes into like developing these characters? Like, you know, tell us how you kind of come up with these ideas.
Well, that one particularly, I had heard on it. I listen to a lot of public radio, and I do listen to the jazz station here.
You have a good public radio voice.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
He's should. Been waiting all his life to hear that.
Really? Can I make public radio
really
money?
Really good.
Please, public radio, hire me.
I can give you public radio money right now.
You have it in the...
In the seat of my car.
Yeah, exactly. I actually now am doing appearances on this like new... Prairie Home Companion type show called American Parlor Songbook, which I think we have here as well.
Mm.
But the way I come up with an idea, that one in particular, I heard it was the non-jazz station, one of the talk radio stations, was saying, I think it was KPCC, and a very proper voiced woman said, welcome aboard. You know, if you and your loved one want to have just a... a really romantic evening. We've got 2 tickets to wine, moonlight, and jazz. And I couldn't... I kept saying, wine, moonlight, jazz. And my sister came to visit me, and I just couldn't... I kept saying the phrase for the whole week. She was like, shut the hell up. Jazz. Jazz. And it's neurotic. I just repeat things until they're... make sense to
until someone wants to murder you.
Yeah. So like, and then I try to find a way to justify it, why to say it. But, yeah.
Well, there's, I mean, there are some quirky people on radio when you hear them, especially in the NPR world.
Yeah.
You just listen to them, you're like, how did you get there? This is
like you're doing a character. You have to be doing a character.
Yeah. And then you see them and you're like, oh, it's not a character.
Have you listened to, you ever listened to the classical station? The
KUSC? Yeah, of course.
I'm Jim Schwede. He not only has a hilarious, weird delivery, but he gives you the most interesting and like off-color facts about, you know, people who've been dead for 300 years. And you're like, ooh, he made it titillating for us.
He's the National Enquirer of classical music.
He knows no one's listening.
Mm-hmm. Especially that's like the banter in between classical pieces. That's not, you know, riveting.
Yeah, radio. They don't really have the morning zoo type.
Yeah.
No, not at all. So, like, so are you performing anywhere? Anytime you're doing the big and tall shows still, right?
Yeah, I do. The big and
so explain how you came up with that whole concept, too.
Well, actually, this is the perfect place to talk about it because you've asked my history. I had been doing a lot of stand-up, and I wanted an outlet for my characters. And I did a couple of like SNL submissions and stuff, and it revived my love of that. And I remembered seeing, just before I got SNL, Fred Armisen around town doing shows. And he would do these great characters that, you know, he'd just show up in a costume that wasn't too crazy. And Andy Daly does this too. And they would just have a character that could break the fourth wall. And it was very portable. You could take it and do it at comedy shows.
Andy Daly's old man character was...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Man, it was beautiful. and I thought, okay, I can do that, you know, and do some more quirky concept stuff and even, like, shape a whole show. Like, I hosted... one entire big and tall show as Tony Danza, who had rented the theater that night for his one-man show, but was forced to share it with the rest of the, you know, the comedians in between. And
did you see the Tony Danza show when it was on the air? Did you ever watch it?
Yeah, a little
it's
bit.
It's the greatest thing that's ever been on television.
My friend Austin was a guest on
it. It was
show.
On at like really? 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. It was amazing.
Wow. That's
if you can ever see old episodes of those. Anyway, go ahead, sorry.
No, but it was, you know, I wanted to do stand-up, you know, or I wanted my choice. So, and now, you know, it's evolved. I had Dean Haglund from the Lone Gunman in the X-Files was my co-host for a long time. And now he's moved to Australia, and now I have 3 other wonderful co-hosts, so we trade off every week.
And so you found people that are like-minded to have this vision.
It's mainly still stand-up. Like,
is Virginia Jones?
She is one of them. And Travis Clark and Hannah Ganson.
Okay. I know Virginia pretty well.
They're hilarious. They're friends. They were on the show a lot beforehand. And but every time there's a fifth Monday, we do the variety show still. So
how often is that? It's like 3 times a year maybe? Twice a year?
I think there are 4 or 5 of them this year,
okay.
Oddly enough. Yeah. I haven't rolled the dice. But yeah, and I'm considering putting together some of the character stuff and trying to do something like a Comedy Central workspace that includes them all, you know, all the bits that I have.
Well, and speaking of the Tony Danza show, let's play that little clip that you got, right?
That would be the American Parlor Songbook. That's the name of the show.
All right.
That, I didn't make it up.
My dad would love that. It's very Garrison Keillor.
Right. And you're doing Tony, you're guesting as Tony Danza?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Our old friend Stephen Benequist wrote and performed this next piece. While we were recording it, he described to me its origins. He was watching Tony Danza at a book signing, and Tony casually mentioned that he'd written to rapper Tupac Shakur in prison. Here's Stephen Benequist.
We are proud and excited to welcome our speaker this evening, star of stage and screen, Tony Danza.
20 years ago, a good friend of mine had a life-changing experience, and so did I. The friend I speak of, the late, great Tupac Shakur, was sent to prison. Now, I didn't know him at the time, but something about him touched me. So I reached out to touch him back. When I did, he reached right on back, and thus began our Scrivener's game of tag. Me, seated at my 17th-century French writing desk, he on his uncomfortable, filthy bunk in the pokey. The pen palship my overture engendered has struck so many people as significant that I have dramatized the letters into my critically acclaimed off-Broadway one-man show, Are You There, Tupac? It's me, Tony. I'm humbled to perform an extract of that show for you here tonight. Dear Tupac, or should I call you Mr. Shakur? You don't know me, except perhaps from beloved sitcoms such as Who's the Boss? And I don't know you, except as the guy who rapped Dear Mama. Any guy loves his mother that much couldn't have done whatever it is they said you did. From one guy who loves his mother to another, I want to tell you to have strength and know you got one more friend out here pulling for you. Your friend on the outside, Tony Danza. Now, in the stage show, this is where I don a sideways baseball cap and transform into that rap legend, Tupac Shakur. Dear Tony Danza, please call me Tupac. Of course I know you from TV as Tony Michelli on WTB and Tony Banta on Taxi. I also loved you as Tony in Cannonball Run 2. I'm honored that Dear Mama touched you. I rapped it straight from the heart, and I'm glad it showed. I'm in here for sexual assault, and you're right, I didn't do it. Life in jail is hard, but it's plumb near unbearable when you know you're innocent. But I can't complain, except maybe about the food in here. It stinks. P.U. Anywho, thanks for your letter. It means a lot. Now back to this flavorless Salisbury steak, and maybe some lyric writing. Your homie, Tupac Shakur. Dear Tupac, I'm flattered that you know my oeuvre. I know you act, too. When you get out, maybe you'd like to do a cameo on my new sitcom, Hudson Street, in which I play Tony Canetti. I've never been in jail, but the last season of Who's the Boss came close. I kid. I can only imagine how bad the food is in there. How sloppy are the Joes? And which toilet wine pairs best with them? Not kidding, simply full of childlike wonder. Hey, I know a way I could brighten your day. I recently took up fudge making as a hobby and have several good recipes. Do you like fudge? And if so, what is your favorite flavor? Mine's Jamocha Walnut. Out like shout, Tony D. Dear Tony D, hey, that'd be your rapper name if you'd been a rapper in the early days. Thanks, I'd love to be on Hudson Street, and I can't wait to see how different and unique Tony Canetti is from the other Tonys you've played. Don't change too much. As for fudge, I don't like it. I love it! Please, oh please, send me some homemade fudge. Any flavor. I love surprises. And be sure to hide tools inside. Kidding. By the way.
Very nice, very nice. I like that you got the perspective of Tupac as in the voice of Tony Danza.
Yes, in the mind of, yeah.
Is that true he's played all Tonys in every show he's done?
All of his major ones, it's Tony.
Yeah.
I got a name. It's Tony.
They probably don't want him to memorize.
I admit, scour his IMDb page for all of the Tonys to mention them all. There's a few non-Tonys.
There's a few non-Tonys, but
this one, though, they weren't important.
There's one where he plays a character named Pony Lambretto. I swear.
That's too funny.
They're like,
well, the weird thing
I can't be Tony, I'm going to be funny.
It's like he's not going to respond when someone calls him Tony.
The director was a hair lip.
Pony.
Yeah, Pony, get over here. I had been doing a little bit where I did an impression of him the night before his big audition to play Tony Michelli. He says, Samantha. Like, all he says is the name to throw in. And then, like, 2 weeks into doing that, I saw he was doing this book signing, and I have to admit, he seemed like a pretty cool dude. Please don't sue me, Tony Danza. He did. He seemed like an admirable.
You have to watch the Tony Danza. Like, I don't know where you could see the clips, but like, he did one thing where he had a game show on his talk show, and they called it the Extravadanza. And it was like Plinko. It was like the game Plinko from Price is Right. And then he did another thing where he went up the back lot and he raced go-karts with members of the audience, and they called that the Daytona 500.
Oh, God. I got to give that an applause. That's awesome.
And then one time they called the woman that played the... What's her name? Who's the boss? The
Mona. Blonde.
Not Mona. The
Samantha.
Angela.
Oh, Angela.
Yes. They called Angela, and she was like either drunk or stoned or something. And she didn't know what was going on when they were talking to her. And Tony's like, "Hey," and she's like, "Tony, what's going on?" It was so fucking funny.
At the book signing, and I'm so upset that I missed the video record of this moment by a split second. This guy I gave the camera to, I tricked him into calling me Angela because someone at the bookstore would write out, you know, in very neat handwriting, your name so that he wouldn't have to read your crappy handwriting
right.
or mishear you. And so I wrote, uh, I, girl asked me my name. I said, Steve Angela Benequist. And so it got to him, and he's just going, you know, person after person. He looks up at me and says, Angela? And I was like, I'm just a big Who's the Boss fan. And I missed it.
Oh,
damn it.
Angela?
Oh, that's Angela. Classic.
Tony Danza.
No Emmys on his mantle, I'm sure.
That show deserved Emmys.
It's a classic show.
It is.
The Tony Danza show.
Who is the Boss?
No, I'm talking about the Tony Danza show.
Well, the Tony Danza. Well,
so amazing.
Yeah, my buddy Austin was on. He was a guest on the show.
And such
he was
an doing amazing
a bunch
show.
Of, stuff on HBO, and he was like, Tony, I just want you to know I was raised on a healthy diet of Who's the Boss when I was growing up.
Yeah, me too. I wasn't allowed to watch it.
Really?
That was a healthy diet. No. I'm seriously thinking about doing that as a one-man show.
Who's the Boss?
No. The him right into Tupac. Could you think it could hold up for a half hour? I mean, it would be kind of torture.
That'd be tough. That'd be tough. But I like it. I like
his,
where you're headed.
What's his rap alter ego? Is it Ice-T? Or no, it's a... Tony,
what?
Tony the Tiger?
He did a
Yamira.
He did a rap character as
he did?
Yeah. What?
Oh wow! I'm gonna research. You guys talk.
Okay. So now I feel like I really haven't researched it enough.
So what clubs have you played? You know, like doing stand up. What have you done? All the Hollywood clubs and
I have. Yeah, Comedy Store and the World Famous Improv, and I have toured around into the Punchline in San Francisco and Stand Up New York and. Last year at this time, I was in London, played a couple of clubs, and I was in the Edinburgh Fringe Festival performing wow. there at a number of shows.
Been all over the world. Did you ever think comedy would take you all these places?
I hoped it would. I love traveling, you know, so I have tried to, like, I went to Japan, and I wound up doing stand-up and improv there.
Wow.
Yeah, which How'd actually there was improv in London as well.
That's a very different audience altogether.
Well, but Tokyo is enormous, so there's like some expats. There's a place there called the Tokyo Comedy Store, which I think has no affiliation to the American Comedy Store.
Comedy Store, right.
Yeah. But, yeah, I love doing that.
And who are some of your biggest influences?
Well, I mean, in stand-up specifically, because there are a lot of sketch people, but yeah.
Well, give me both.
Woody Allen's pretty huge. I mean, I'm a big film buff, too, and I would say... He's pretty up there. And then, I don't know. I enjoy and I listen to a lot of different sources. I love Paula Poundstone, I have to say.
I don't know Paula Poundstone. What did she do?
Oh, God, she was enormous.
She's been around forever.
Yeah, late 80s and early 90s, you couldn't like watch TV without seeing her doing stand-up. And she now still tours a lot, but she's on. She's frequently on this NPR show called, is it? Not Whose Line Is It Anyway, obviously. Do you know the one I'm talking about? Ugh. Sorry, NPR. I wanted to promote you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I can't think of the name.
Wait, Don't Tell Me. It's called Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Wait, Don't Tell Me.
If we can hear it over those gigantic crickets.
They're huge here. Our crickets are huge.
But yeah, so...
Just those two, Woody Allen and Paula Poundstone?
Yeah.
What about No, Harold Ramis.
Bill Cosby.
Oh, that's a sore subject.
But not the stand-up. Hey. I now find Hey creepy. I didn't used to find...
Yeah, I think everything.
Obese child.
All of his characters are very creepy now.
Yeah.
Everything from Fat Albert.
Yeah.
Mushmouth.
Mushmouth. Was Dumb Donald truly dumb?
Was it? You're just
trying to keep his mouth shut.
Let's play another clip. You got another stand-up clip? What's the next
one? The other
clip?
One is a voiceover. Actually, I do voice stuff, and this is a DreamWorks web cartoon. It's new. It's called Fish, Dick, and Honey Bear, and I am Honey Bear.
Okay, here we go.
I don't. It's not queued up. I don't think, but it's.
We'll do it.
It's only 2 minutes long.
A fish stick. I'm calling her. Huh? No, don't call her. I'm calling her. Don't call her. I'm calling her.
Don't call her.
I'm calling her.
Don't call her.
I'm calling her.
Don't call her.
I'm calling her.
Don't call her.
But maybe she's bored. I could tell her a hilarious joke.
That's literally the worst idea anyone's ever had.
Honey Bear, you can do this. You're smart. You're special. You're releasing all of your fears. Now call her number.
And you'll regret it every day for the rest of your life.
She's picking up the phone.
Press 1 for shame, 2 for humiliation.
Jiffyville Public Library.
Uh.
Excuse me? Hello?
Hang it up, man. Hang up the phone. And whatever you do, don't say your name.
Tiny Bear Ignatius Honey Bear.
Dude.
That did not go well.
No, you blew it.
Which means I can never show my face at the public library again.
Oh, that's for sure. But lucky for you, I bought a time machine. From that man who collects our garbage.
You mean that weird box can transport us back in time? So we can undo that last telephone call?
Boop, beep, boop, boop. Countdown sequence engaged.
And then use our future wisdom to make this world a better place?
Whatever.
Awesome, Fishstick. Let's go back in time.
Hey, Fishstick. I'm calling her.
Huh? No, don't call her.
I'm calling her.
Don't call her.
I'm calling
her. Don't call her.
I'm calling her.
Don't call her.
I'm calling her.
Don't call her.
I'm calling her.
Don't call her.
But maybe she's bored. I could tell her a hilarious joke.
Help me! I'm sinking!
Very nice. Very nice.
Written by and animated by the hilarious Dennis Messner. And
I don't know Dennis Messner.
Well, he's up and coming. And I have to say he wrote DreamWorks liked it. They ordered 6 more episodes. They're going to come out soon. And,
nice.
And, that's sweet.
He's really funny, and the world that he's created for Fishstick and Honey Bear is like pretty cool. So
cool,
yeah.
And it's on is there a website for it or just on YouTube?
It's the DreamWorks YouTube channel.
Okay,
which is yeah, because
he just that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I found out Tony Danza's rap name.
What is it?
Italian Ice.
Italian Ice. Italian Ice.
Thanks, punny Uncle Tony.
There you go.
I'm waiting for that album to come out.
Italian Ice, you know, obviously.
So what's next for you? What are you? Are you performing anywhere soon? Are you doing? Are you working on sketch comedy stuff?
Actually, let's see. There's going to be Letters to Tupac, or AKA, Are You There, Tupac? It's me, Tony. I may do the Big and Tall show as a group of sketches, but I wrote a play, which I'm really excited. I'm going to mount that pretty soon. I've done some readings, and it's called...
Is it comedy, or...?
It's a comedy. It's pretty crazy. It's called Too Many Hitlers. And I know you're thinking that you all know the correct number of Hitlers, but this one is...
What is Too Many Hitlers?
Exactly. Can there be?
Can there be too many Hitlers? Can there be not enough Hitlers?
Easy, easy, easy.
Yeah, so suffice it to say, there's a lot of Hitlers in this play. And it's about the end of the war, and it's the very end, and all the decoys for Adolf Hitler being rounded up in this room. And it's kind of Marx Brothers-ish, and they, a lot of dispute over who's the real Hitler for a while, and then it just explodes.
That's funny.
Thanks.
That's funny.
It's very crazy.
That sounds chaotic.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like that angle they did on Arrested Development when they had all the Saddam Hussein lookalikes.
There was a movie about two.
What the hell? I forget the name of it. Something gold had gold in it. Some sort of gold something.
Yeah, but that was a drama or an action drama. No, I haven't seen that Family Guy episode.
Arrested Development.
Oh, Arrested Development. Oh. Didn't see that one either.
Yeah. No. Wrong altogether. That's all right.
Never.
I haven't seen that Hudson Street episode.
Are you doing any stand-up anytime soon?
Yeah. You can see me on the Big and Tall show.
Where is the Big and Tall show?
It's at the Lash on Winston Street, downtown L.A.
Okay.
8:30 every Monday. And, I have some club gigs coming. If you're curious, go to stevebenequist.com or follow
spell
me.
Spell it all out. Yeah.
At Steve Benequist on Twitter. Oh, yes, my weird name that no one can spell. BenaQuist.
I was talking about Steve.
PH. Yes.
STEPH. Silent G.
Yes. My dad wanted to be PH, and he was thwarted by my mom. So
was your dad like a major influence because he was a film buff?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he would. This is. I'm just old enough and lived in a small town in New Hampshire. Where
in New Hampshire?
Keene.
Okay, my in-laws live in Exeter.
Okay, across the southern part of the state.
Yeah.
And,
I've been to Manchester, New Hampshire.
That is just kind of an ugly, weird little sorry Manchester city that Sean Connery should say, shitty. Before you could get, rent videos, he would actually bring home a projector, a film, and a screen, and we would watch old movies.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was amazing.
That's the way to see movies, really.
Yeah. And then the Film Society at the school, I could go see movies. So, in a time when it's hard even to imagine it now, but to be a film buff was impossible, 30 years ago.
Yeah, it took so much effort to go see it, to watch a movie.
Yeah, the people like Woody Allen and Scorsese, who grew up in New York City, you had to live in a big, big city to even see a lot of movies.
Yeah. That's even nowadays with the digital revolution. It's before, if you wanted to make a movie, it had to take effort and money and time,
crazy amounts of
and
planning.
Now it's just a guy with an iPhone can just
make a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I feel and that's part of why I don't make sketch much anymore either, is the plates have shifted of what people consider laughable in a video. And I have made a bunch of videos. I have a YouTube channel which has some stuff I'm pretty proud of, and then some other more random stuff. But I honestly, when I watch something that has a million hits and by an official comedian, even, I'm I'm not sure exactly what's funny.
You see some of the stuff that's viral, and some of the people that are the YouTube stars, and you're what?
I don't get it.
I don't understand. What's
I don't
happening.
Get that. And it's the same with music too. It's the same with music.
I just don't understand.
A pretty girl can sing an okay version of a song or a cover song. That's not even a big song. And it'll have 50 million views.
Nikki, you're a pretty girl. Come on.
Yeah, well, I can be on the weekends.
Just to get a corset. Push all that up.
Push all that up. No, but I mean, it's the same with comedy, too. I see this. A lot of people, I feel like hanging out with my friends are funnier than a lot of the new sketch comedy things that I've seen on YouTube. I don't laugh at those.
Well, if you wanted to film something before, even 15 years ago, you'd be at get money,
yep,
shoot it, find some way to edit, and then
and there'd be a team of writers,
then put it in
too.
Festivals and go that way, and it was a thing, and now it's just people shoot stuff on
nothing.
Every day, just put it on YouTube,
cell phone,
your
nothing.
8-year-old niece
yeah.
can do it, yeah.
There's so much noise, it's so hard to anyone to see anything, there's so much noise.
And I'll say that, and I may be a victim of that blindness too, I'm pleasantly surprised to find some amazing stuff out there too. I mean, there are some. You know Brent Weinbach?
Yeah.
Funny dude.
Yeah.
And maker of really hilarious videos.
Yeah. There's some people that actually do it, and there's a craft to it, and they do it. And there's other people who just throw random things up, and you're just you can't get through the noise to see the good things because it's impossible to find.
Unless there are tastemakers that, there's people that I trust that when somebody either has the same taste in music or the same taste in, comedy.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody posts something, I'm going to watch that. There's so many videos that people post daily. This is hilarious. And I'll give people
one chance. Yeah, but you could put a lot of work and a lot of money and a lot of time into something. Yeah. And then someone comes along and does none of that.
Yeah.
And will just blow your hits out of the water. And it's this is sitting here and it doesn't make any sense.
I agree.
It doesn't make sense in my head anymore.
Well, that's why we do this show, Eddie. Mm. To showcase, put a little spotlight on those people that deserve a voice, right? And he's like, he's a little emotional.
God damn it!
Steve deserves a voice here.
Well, let me ask you this, because you guys are both comedians. And, what do you think is groundbreaking comedy right now?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know what would be groundbreaking comedy.
Louis is not at this. He's broken the ground already.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a great voice. I would say Louis is definitely
Andy Daly's comedian. Review.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to go.
I mean, that is
Have you seen Comedy Bang Bang?
Yeah.
What do you think of Comedy Bang Bang? I want your honest opinion, because I was just introduced to it recently, and it didn't make me laugh. I was like...
It's very random. It's very weird.
I just wasn't impressed. I was like, man, I know friends of mine can make something better than this, you know? But it's got... there's a vehicle, and I get it. It's got a thing, and I get the thing, but when the whole thing is supposed to be funny, it just doesn't make sense when it's not funny, and yet it still has a thing. Does that make sense to me?
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I saw a show with one of the episodes had Joseph Gordon-Levitt on it, right? And he's on
I'm
there,
already laughing.
And you know, he talks about his flaw, he did Angels in the Outfield, so he talks about this movie, and the interviewer is making fun of him doing that movie, but... It wasn't funny, but yet he's on the show as a guest to create, a voice for him to talk about whatever, or to show a different side of his acting capabilities or his, whatever his story is. So it was just it obviously has something where big guests and big names are – every episode has a big name on it, what I mean? And Reggie Watts is like the musical, or he was the musical guest. Now it's Kid Cudi, you know. Okay. So they've got like huge names attached to it, but it just doesn't make sense to me because it's like it's not that entertaining to me. But yet, because it's marketed so well.
Some people love it.
People love it. It just doesn't make sense to me. I'm like, no, I don't get why this is funny. Why is this funny? Yeah. Now, what am I? I felt like when I was watching, I'm like, I must be the old guy because this is not funny to me. And I'll watch like an old Three Stooges thing and I'll be like, dude, this is so good.
That guy's hitting that guy.
How's he not dead? He got right up from that.
But it's the truth. I mean, that stuff always makes me laugh. It still makes me laugh. And a lot of new sketch comedy shows.
Like you watch some of like the old like, you know, Laurel and Hardy or Marx Brothers stuff. Totally. I mean, it's insanely funny.
Insane. Like it's so good and it's timeless.
Some of the stuff that Groucho Marx would spit out of his mouth, you're like, no one can do that today.
And there you go.
There's no one that talented working comedy that can spit out stuff like that. It was insane.
Yeah. Man, on the other end of that spectrum, someone showed me last Halloween the Paul Lynde Halloween special, like 1975.
I don't know that.
Paul Lynde, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Templeton the Rat.
Yeah.
From, Charlotte's Web. He, and I really had never seen Hollywood Squares and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he was, you talk about people spitting out a joke. That guy could spit out.
Oh, he was amazing.
Cheesiest lines.
He was always the center square.
Oh, he would make me laugh against my will.
Yeah.
You're
like, I'm not going to laugh at It's just like you couldn't.
But that's not, I don't know if it's the attack, with the way people deliver stuff now.
There's a lot of layers of irony. There's a lot of like, let's make this cleverer and cleverer. And that can help.
And also back, I mean, they had to get, if you want to say things, you had to really layer them to get them through sensors and stuff.
Well,
now,
that's
kind of stripped away, and you can kind of just say what you mean,
but
which takes away some of the cleverness.
That's true.
You know, like some of the Groucho Marx stuff, you're just like, I mean, if you can get through the long musical numbers in the middle of the movies,
yeah.
If you can cut those away and just stick with the comedy, then you're like, this is
brilliant.
This is amazing.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it feels like comedy's getting like too many layers of irony and cleverness, and yet it's dumber and more obvious. Yeah.
Look, for instance,
sort of stop doing.
Well, it's also happening with TV shows and movies. Like, I saw the remake of Vacation, and it was like, oh my god, this is terrible. I mean, and I watched the original Vacation like a week before. Like, okay, this hopefully is going to be pretty badass, but it was just so bad. It was like, my god. There's no nuance, film.
But did you see Spy with Melissa McCarthy?
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Hilarious.
That was a great movie. Great movie. That's one of the movies of the summer that I was like, wow, this is brilliant.
And that between that and Kingsman, like there's almost like new genres being created, like action comedies that are truly action filled is kind of.
Yeah, Kingsman was great.
Yeah, and that's like the obverse of the coin, like an action movie that is way funnier than most action movies. And like that's cool, that we can experiment that way.
That's groundbreaking comedy right now.
Well, I think Guy Ritchie did that a lot with his Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking. But those movies were hilarious, but action packed. I mean, they were action movies that were funny.
Uh huh.
So it kind of set the table, I guess, for that. I don't know.
You know who's a unique and interesting person in the world of comedy, but on radio/podcasting? You know Phil Hendrys?
Oh yeah, he's amazing.
Amazing, and
I don't know him.
What he does, and actually. I was in an improv group that did an improvised 40s-style radio show. And in the 40s, before there was television, in the 30s, they did, sitcoms and action shows and all these things. And Phil Hendrys came through at a time when there really wasn't much fictionalized, or if any, I don't think, in the 90s. He did a fake talk show format.
Yeah.
It was real to a point.
Well, if you tuned in without knowing it was Phil Hendrys' show, if you were just driving, you put on the radio, and you heard, you're like, this is the craziest radio show I've ever heard.
The first guest would have a dumb or weird point of view that would get more offensive and crazier to the over like.
You're like, what am I listening to?
And you're like, this is a real person. And then people would just call in, and he'd be standing back and moderating the weirdo and the real callers.
And but he would bounce
really him and the
he would bounce back from the weird character he created.
Beautiful
to himself.
Breath control. Yeah,
incredible breath control. That's you wouldn't be able to tell. He would be talking to himself, and you couldn't tell.
But now, he still exists, and he's taken it to a whole other level, and I really admire him. He started doing all that after a 20-year career as a regular DJ. He was getting bored. He was 40 and started doing that. And then, so now, 20 years later, he has evolved it over the last maybe 8 years, so it's just him.
Yeah.
There's no one else. Hmm. And he has like a zoo crew of like four or five characters.
It's insane, his voice talent.
Yeah, yeah. And he calls in as the other characters and talks to all of them. And has these
but the way he can bounce off and like hold up a phone to make it sound like he's on a phone and then come back and and have five trains of thought going between five different
all
characters.
All different perspectives, including,
all different perspectives including the moderators. Yeah. And just bounce the voices and be able to pick right back up and cut himself off with another character. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's
and
insane.
It's funny. He's like a great improviser, great voice artist, you know, in terms of doing different voices, and great, like, the writing is hilarious, too. Yeah.
Do you think people pick up on it?
You mean know that it's...
If you don't know it's Phil Henry, then you're like, this is...
You don't know.
You wouldn't have to know.
You wouldn't even have to know, but like to find out that that's one guy doing all that, it blows your mind.
Damn. Yeah. Is that on YouTube? I'm going to have to
YouTube
that.
He does YouTube's podcasts now, right?
Yeah, it's on iTunes. The World of Phil Henry's is it's free, but also he has... You can see videos of him doing it on YouTube.
Wow. I'm going to have to look that up.
But it's fun to see him do it once, but you get lost in the world of it more if you just listen.
Yeah.
I think it's a better audio experience. Sorry, Phil. I know you're trying to... You get more money if people...
He's probably sitting there...
To get a face for radio.
Those guys! Gotta get them.
He's a genius.
Yeah, he really, truly is.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for coming by. You were such an awesome guest, man.
This is a real pleasure. It's great to be here. Thank
you. One more time, give everybody your website, spell it out, your Twitter handles, all that stuff, and push the shows that you're doing. We want our listeners to come. Come on.
All right. Well, the Twitter is at Steve Benequist, StevBenaQuist, at thetwitter.com. SteveBenequist.com is a little bit in flux, but it'll lead you towards some stuff. But the Twitter will definitely lead you. And come see The Big and Tall if you're in L.A. any Monday, and you'll see me and my awesome cohorts.
Who are they, too?
Yeah, as I said, Travis Clark, very funny. Hannah Ganson and Virginia Jones, all really hilarious. They do festivals and you can see them around. you can look for my play, Too Many Hitlers.
Do you have a theater yet?
I don't yet, but I'll be doing, probably at the Acme Theater, I'll be doing a stage reading with some of LA's greatest sketch actors in it. Yeah, I got, because it's Hitlers, I have like some slightly older dudes who are...
They have to look like Hitler.
They don't have to look like, yeah.
It helps.
Watch Fish Stick and Honey Bear. You're welcome, DreamWorks. You can occasionally see me in a sketch in Conan, but not that often. And that's about it.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Steve Benequist. On behalf of Eddie Pence, I'm Nikki Krul. We'll see you here next week.
Good night, everybody.